We begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Nun. We begin on the bottom line of the daf, Mem Tesma Beis, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had explained, and it was Marzutra, Breder of Nachman, who qualified the halacha in the Mishnah. There were three halachas, Tikkun Olam, that was the opening case of the Mishnah. And that is, by Nizakim, by damages, he collects from the Idis, the highest quality field of the Mazik. There's a Balchayv, a creditor from a loan. He collects from the Bainis, from the intermediate level fields of the debtor. And then you have Ksubas Isha, when the woman's collecting her Ksuba after the marriage is dissolved, then she collects from Ziburis. Now, Masrucha qualified, he said that halacha was only said when she's collecting from the orphans, when she was widowed. But, says Masrucha, if she was divorced and she's collecting from her husband, actually she would collect from Bainis. That was the halacha Masrucha. Now, one of the questions the Gemara had asked Masrucha was from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah puts the three cases together. And if he's saying that the case of Ksubas Isha Biziburis is only when she's collecting from the orphans, then seemingly the case of Id of Nizakin and Bachayv is also when you're collecting from the assignment. The question is that actually as another halacha in our Mishnah teaches of Tikkun Olam, that you never collect more than Ziburis from the assignment, even if it's Nizakin or Bachayv. So how can you say that the case of Ksubas Isha Biziburis is when you're collecting from the orphans, then the other cases are also talking about from the orphans. And there, then why are you collecting from Idis and Bainis if you're collecting from the orphans? So on that, Rav Acha Yaakov said that actually the case of our Mishnah is talking about a totally different type of a case. It's talking about where it's the father who made himself an arv, a guarantor for his son's liabilities, for the son's damages, for the son's debts, and for the son's Ksuba, meaning for his daughter-in-law's Ksuba. Now, that the Gemara explained, Haikidini v'haikidini, regarding the Nizakin and Baal Chayv, where there the son is responsible even when he's still alive, so that is where the Arv, the guarantor, who's his father, takes that place, and he has to pay exactly what his son would have to pay, which is Idis and Bainis. But regarding the Ksuba of his wife, which actually the responsibility only begins when the son actually dies, that's only when the obligation begins, that's the obligation of the Yisayimim. Yisayimim only have to pay Ziburis, and therefore the father, their grandfather, who he's the Arev, because his son and his grandchildren obviously don't have money to pay him the Ksuba, then he pays Kidinem, which is like their obligation, because that's when it starts, which is only of Ziburis, and that's why the Arev in this case is only going to have to pay Ziburis. That's how the Gemara answered for the halacha of Masrucha. Now, the Gemara wondered, how can you even say such an answer? But as our Gemara is actually going to explain now, which the Gemara had already assumed that halacha, that an Arev by a Ksuba, a guarantor to pay up a Ksuba, is not Mishtabit. He doesn't even become responsible. So how can you say the case that it's talking about who's paying Ziburis is the father, who he's an Arev, and that's why it doesn't contradict the other halachas that there he will pay Idis and Bainis, because it's not the orphans, it's the father who he takes over the responsibilities, which again, that's the difference we explained between the Ksubas Isha, which starts with the orphans, and whereas Nizakin and by Baal Chayv, which just starts with the father itself, meaning with the son, that middle generation. So on that, the Gemara wonders, but how can you even say that's the case of the Ksubas Isha Biziburis, is when the grandfather is an Arev? There is no obligations that are incumbent upon the Arev of a Ksuba. So the Gemara answered, it's talking about that he's not just a regular Arev, a guarantor, he's a higher level security guarantor, which is called a Kablan, which is he takes responsibility even if the party that he's responsible for doesn't even default. You can go straight to the Kablan. Now the Gemara said that works very well according to the opinion that holds that's even if there's no nechasim for the loiv at the time when the loan is happening. But according to the one that says it's only when if the loiv has money at the time, then the kablan will make himself mishubid even to a ksubas isha. On that the Gemara said one of two answers, either that actually his son had money, but then by the time the ksuba was being collected, the estate didn't have any money anymore. So since he was at the time, he was mishabed nafshi. Or actually, the Gemara says, you could say that the son actually never had anything. And although generally a kablan will not take any responsibility, even as a kablan, if the guy who is borrowing has nothing at the time, even of assets, but by a son, is different. For a son, you'll do things that normally you wouldn't do, and he's mishabed himself in spite of all that. So that's how the Gemara resolved the opinion of Masrucha. Now the Gemara continues, and once we had introduced these halachas, so the Gemara goes through some of them. Itmar, we learned, Arev de Ksuba. If a person is a guarantor for the husband, to pay up the ksuba, which means to say that the husband says, when you get divorced, when you get widowed, you can collect this ksuba from me. Now she's like, how do I know you can have money? So there's a guarantor that guarantees, don't worry, if he doesn't pay, I'll pay up. Says the Gemara, everyone agrees that really he's not making himself responsible for that debt. Now, as Rashi brings, there's two reasons why. First of all, he's just what's called a regular arv, a guarantor, which is he's really the one, he's relying that the one who's collecting, where in this case is the woman, is going to collect from the husband. I'm just guaranteeing, look, if he totally defaults, fine, I'll pay. But it's not just that, it's moreover that she's not losing anything. In other words, by a regular loan, the lender's lending money. He's like, hey, I'm shelling out all this money, I want to make sure I'm going to get my money back. So if it defaults, then fine, I'll go to the guarantor. But here she's not losing anything. Actually, marriage, she actually gains. So since she's not really losing, and he's just taking a low-level type of responsibility for Arev, he's not being meshavet himself. He's not responsible. He's just doing it as a way to motivate, saying, no, don't worry, I'll help you out. But the ultimate shibud actually is not incurred on the guarantor. Whereas, as the Gemara continues at the top of Nun and Aleph, Kablun de Bal Chayiv, if let's say someone takes the responsibility, as we explained in the previous daf, of a Kablun, which is as if he is telling the lender, here, you, and I'm directing you to go ahead and lend the money. So essentially, it's his command. He's actually the first one starting. And moreover, it's a Kablun of a Bal Chayiv, of a creditor, meaning of a debt, of a loan. Then Deviyah Kol Meshtab. Then says the Gemara, everyone would agree that the guarantor for sure is responsible for that loan. And that's because here you have two reasons actually making him liable. One is, first of all, he's taking the responsibility of a Kablan, which again is, even if the lender is not going to pay back, you can go straight, you can say that the Kablan said he's the one that's really responsible. And moreover, is that it's creating a loss for the lender. So what do you mean? You're not just motivating me. I need to make sure I'm going to get my money back. So therefore, in that case, for sure, everyone would hold that there is a shibud on the guarantor. However, arv de bal chayiv, when it's a debt, meaning when there's a loan, when the lender is losing money here, but the person, the guarantor, only took what's called a guarantor. I'm not a kablin. I'm not telling you to lend this guy the money, meaning I'm saying, look, this guy, he's borrowing the money from you. If he doesn't have, then you could come to me. Or the kablin de ksuba, where again, here, both of these cases have one saying why you should be chayv and one reason why saying you shouldn't be, because on the one hand, he's taking on himself the responsibility of a kablan, but it's just for a ksuba. And that is because the woman's not shelling out any money, she's not losing anything, but she just wants to make sure she gets a ksuba. And so therefore, in regards to those two cases, that's pligi, that's where there's a machlekes. And that is, ikal aman da'ama, there is an opinion that holds, and this is what we referenced on the bottom of the previous daf, that avagav de lesle nichse lalaiva mishtabit. Even if the borrower didn't have any properties at the time that he took the loan, still, just like in the case of kablan de bal chayiv, you're taking responsibility in all situations, here, in these situations also, even though that, let's say, it's only for ksuba, and she's not losing any money, or it's a bal chayiv, but you're just only an arv, you're only a guarantor, still, even though there's no properties for the leiva, he's being meshabed himself. As long as there's one reason to say why you would have been meshabed yourself. However, there is those who hold, now, e isle mishtabed. Regarding these type of cases, since it's not such a powerful obligations that's going on, it's not two reasons like kalban de bachayiv, so then if the lender had money at the time, so you were relying, you said, I'll be in, I'll take responsibility because I'm hoping that I won't have to pay out because I know he has properties at the time when the loan is happening, then he's mishabed himself. But he less le mishtabed. But if the guy didn't have any money, then even if, let's say, you made yourself a kablan, but it's only a ksuba, or even though it's a chayv, but you only took yourself an arv, if you didn't have any money at the time, I wasn't really making myself responsible. I'm not crazy. I'm not jumping into something where I know they're going to have to collect from me. And therefore, that's the machlekes regarding these middle cases, where it's only one reason why you would say that you would be chayv, and one reason not. Then there's a machlekes, would you be meshabi yourself in all situations, or only if the leiva has money at that time? Now the Gemara concludes, v'hilchasa b'kula and alochas, by all of these, afagav de les lei meshtabit. Even if the lender did not have any money at the time, but you took responsibility, even if you're just an ariv, let's say by a chayv, or for sure, if let's say you're a kablan by a ksuba, which both of us have only one, so even though the lender didn't have anything, the guy was getting married, didn't have any money at the time, you're still meshabit yourself, and they're going to come collect from you. bar me'orv diksub, except for the one that we said where you have two reasons why you would not really be mishabed yourself. A, you're only taking as an oriv, not as a kablan. And moreover, it's just a ksuba, where the halacha is that actually the avagav, the islay loy mishabed. Even if the guy was getting married at the time had money, so you would think maybe the guy would be in because, okay, I'll make myself responsible because hopefully he has where to collect from. No, you're not mishabed yourself. My time, what's the reason? So the Gemara, mitzvah hu da'avid v'le midichasra. All he was doing was a mitzvah, helping people get married because she's not comfortable because what am I going to do when I get divorced and then I'm not going to be able to get remarried, I'm not going to have where to support myself. So he's doing a mitzvah to get them to get married. V'lemidichas, there's not losing anything. And therefore, again, since you have two reasons why you wouldn't be, A, you're only making yourself an arab, not a kaplan. Moreover, it's only for a ksuba, not something of a chayv. In such a situation, there's the one exception that even though he's saying I'm a guarantor, he's actually not mishabed himself, and he would not be chayv. Now, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, and this is going back to the discussion of the previous daf, he says, Toshima, come in here, I'll bring your raya, not like Mar Zutra. Okay, Mar Zutra had said that although the Mishnah tells us that Ksubis Isha is Biziburis, Mar Zutra qualified and said that's only when that the woman's collecting from the orphans. But if she would be collecting as a Grusha, let's say from him, then actually she would not be she would be able to collect from Bainis. So he says, I'll bring your raya, not like Mar Zutra. Because Meikara did Takantin. From the inception of the takana, in other words, from the root of the reason of this takana, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, which was that a woman collects her ksuba from ziburis, what is the reason? So we quote a brisa that what's the reason? Because yaisi mimashi ish roitz elisa, we said, because more than a man wants to get married, ish roitz linase, a woman that wants to get married. So we have no reason to award her such a high award, because a ksuba she has to get. But more than ziburis? No, because she wants to get married more than the husband, and therefore we only have to give her ziburis. Says Ravina, if you would entertain that the halacha of collecting from ziburis is like Mar Zutra had said, only from yisayim, from orphans, well, haimishum diyasmihu. Well, then the reason why we're saying a ksuba isha would be collecting from ziburis is not because of the inception of the halacha of ksuba regarding why people get married. To the contrary, you're saying a regular ksuba, when she collects from him, she collects from Bainis. The whole reason why it's only from ziburis is because it's collecting from the orphans. And that's why it's from ziburis, not because Yosei Masha Ishretz Lisa. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta Mazutra, Tiyufta, this refutes the interpretation of Mazutra from the previous staff, and that is, it's not correct. A woman collects her ksubas isha always from ziburis, even as a divorcee from the husband himself. We don't have a reason to award her more than ziburis, and therefore she doesn't get more than ziburis in all situations. Now the Gemara continues with another halacha from Amar Mazutra Bered Rav Nachman Mishmei Rav Nachman. Again, continuing on actually a related vein in his previous halacha, which he was qualifying Ksubas Isha was Biziburis, where he said that's only when collecting from the assignment, which actually that was refuted. But this is actually related to another halacha in the Mishnah, which said that if someone collects from the assignment from orphans, in any situation they could only collect from Ziburis. However, on that Mazutra comes and he qualifies and he says, regarding a document that's being collected from orphans, in other words, regarding a loan that their father had taken out, and then he died, and now the lender is coming to collect from the orphans. So says Mazutra, even though in the document it was written the conditions of the loan was that the lender is going to be able to collect from the borrower's either's fields, from his best fields, still says Mazutra, actually only going to collect from the ziburis and not from the idus, as was the conditions in the document. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says that teda, you should know, like Mazutra is saying, that the conditions don't help of the shtar itself, of the loan, regarding the orphans, because as I'll prove it to you, because in general, the bal chayv, dina bebeinis, in general, the halacha is that a creditor collects from the intermediate fields. But regarding the orphans, the law changes, and the lender only collects biziburis from the lowest grade. So even though halacha tells you bainis, but by yisayim it goes down to ziburis. So it says Mazut is correct. The halacha always is by yisayim you only collect from ziburis, even if that was the conditions of the loan itself. But it doesn't make a difference. When you come to the orphans, the halacha changes from bainis to ziburis. And even over here, where the condition was idis, you're going to go down to ziburis. Now, Amalei Rava asks on this. He says, Hachi Hashta, How could you, Abaye, compare the two as if you're boosting Mazrutra's halacha from general, where it goes from Beinus to Ziburus? But Baal Chayiv says, Rava dine midei raisa b'ziburus. Biblical law actually is that a creditor collects only from the lowest grade fields. Kedeula, like Ula says, the Amma Ula said, Dvat Torah, biblical law, Baal Chayiv b'ziburus. A creditor really only collects from the lowest grade fields. Shenema, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, it says, Bachutz tamoid, this is in Devarim Chav Dalet pasuk Yudav, it says, Bachutz tamoid, in the outside you stand, meaning you, the creditor, the lender, but Ish Begamer, and that man, where the pasuk says, Ashata Neishaboy, that you're trying to collect from him, Yoytzi Alecha, he'll bring out to you what he owes you. Now, on that Ula says, Madar Chayshal Ish Lahaytzi. What would it be, a debtor? What's he taking out of his house to pay up to the creditor? He brings out the lowest grade type of utensils and vessels that he has, because willingly he's not going to be paying idus, his highest quality stuff. Now, so therefore biblical law really tells you that a creditor you give the ziburis. But umatam amru b'alchay b'beinis, why did they say, why is halacha tell us that a creditor collects from the intermediate fields? That's kadesh lo tinal delis b'fnei lavin. That's the metaphorical, you shouldn't be closing the door in front of the lenders, because in front of the borrowers, because no one's going to want to lend them anymore. Why should I lend you? I'm going to get back your lowest grade fields. So that's rabbinically that they upped it to Beinonis. But Regabi Yasmin, but says Rava, regarding the orphans, Ukmur Rabbanah Dairaitza. The rabbis made it on the biblical law that the Yisayimim, you only have to give, they only have to give you Ziburis, because that's the biblical law. Rabbinically, it's Beinonis, but for the Yisayimim, we didn't make it on the rabbinic law. But says Rav Elahacha, but regarding the case that Marzut is discussing, where there was a condition in the loan itself in the document, but here, since now biblically, that loan, actually the obligation, is not like a regular biblical loan that the obligation is Ziburis. Here biblically the obligation is in the highest quality fields, because that's what he was Meshavet himself. And actually, his land becomes the guarantor for the loan, and an Arev, as Rashi brings, is Mishubid Minat Torah, like the Pasuk says, Yehuda guaranteed his father, Yaakov Avinu. He says, Anochi Arvenu, don't worry, I'll be an Arab. I will be the guarantor that Binyamin makes it back home from Egypt. So we see that's a biblical concept, Arab. And his land, in this loan, he was making Mishubid. So that's biblical that the Idis is Mishubid. So says Rava, Afila meyasminame be'idis. Then it's not true. I disagree with Allah. Then even by the orphans, the collection should be from the Idis. Because the rabbis don't come, and when it comes to orphans, uproot biblical law. They actually implement biblical law. And they say that the rabbinic law, which helps you collect from higher as a creditor, we're not going to do that for the orphans. We're going to protect their interest. But when the biblical law is Idus, as it is when in this case of the loan, when the Arvis was in the Karka of Idus, then we don't uproot that law, and then even by the orphans, it's going to be from Idus. Now the Gemara asks, Ula Rav, according to Rav's opinion, but Vatoni Avram Chazor taught the following Ibraisa. It says, we do not collect from the estate of the orphans, only from the lowest grade. Vafilahein Nizakin, even when it regards to damages. Even for damages, when you're collecting from the orphans, after the one who damaged you dies, you could only collect from Ziburis. Now, that the Gemara asks, but according to the logic of Rava, by damages, what's the biblical law? Biblical law says, Metiv Sedeu, Metiv Karmi Yishalom. Idis is a biblical law. So then why, according to Rava, in that case, would we collect only from Ziburis from the Yisayim, if biblical law is what you said we have to require even of the orphans, which is Idis, which is the highest quality fields? So the Gemara answers, no, it's not difficult on Rava. Because Hacha Mayaskinan, what was the Braisa of Avram Chizar referring to? Kagoyin Shahisa Idis de Nizik Ziburis de Mazik. When the highest quality field of the Nizik is equal to the lowest quality field of the Mazik of the damager. For Rabbi Shmuel, he is going like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amad that he says, Midairaisa ben Nizik Shaminan, according to biblical law, the obligation of the damager to pay the highest quality fields doesn't mean his own highest quality fields. It means he has to compensate the damaged party with the damaged party's highest quality fields. Umemne tikkun olam, it's only because the rabbinic concerns that the Kinyan Rabbana b'demazik, that the rabbi is instituted, as we learned in the Mishnah, the way as Abai had interpreted, that it's that he, then he has to pay the Mazik's highest quality field, and he has to give his own highest quality fields. Now, v'gabe yasmi akum ukmu rabbana deraisa. And regards to Yisayim, actually says Rava, this fits right into my logic, which yes, regarding orphans, we only require biblical law, and we don't require the rabbinic tikkun olam of taking it up to iddis de nizik. And that's what Avram Chizo was saying, that even by nizakin, he's only going to have to pay ziburis. Whose ziburis? His own ziburis, which is the iddis of the nizik that he has to give, because that is biblical law, and that's all he has to give. When he's saying you wouldn't have to give iddis by nizakin, it means to say the iddis of the mazik himself. So again, that still works well with Rava, that you do implement biblical law, which is only iddis de nizik, not iddis de mazik. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking on Rava regarding this differentiation that he's making, where there's a difference between, as we said, that although generally the Baal Chayiv is Beinus, but by Yisayim it's Ziburis, that's again because he said that's only rabbinic law, but let's say when there was a condition made in the Shtar, then that's there's a biblical obligation of Iddis, that is only going to have to, that even that, you'll have to collect the Iddis from the Yisayim. On that thing, Maras, Ini, is that so? But Vatani Rebbe Eliezer Nivsa. Lezer Nivsa taught the following Braisa. Ein Nifroa Menichsi Yisayimim, as we've been saying this halacha, when you're collecting from the orphans, you could only collect from the lowest grade field. And he says, "Vafilahein idis," and even if they're the best. Now, what does that mean? Maya filahein idis. What does it mean that even if they're the best? What do you mean? What's the best? You're collecting from the ziburis. So says the Gemara, "Lav avagav dechsim idis bishtara." Isn't what Rebbe Eliezer Nivsa is saying, that even though it was written into the document that he could collect from the idis, still, as the halacha of Mazdutra had said, that even if they're idis, you can only collect from the ziburis. So that's a refutation of Rava's interpretation. He said, not like the halacha of Mazdutra, that if the condition was for idis, then you could collect from idis and not from ziburis. So the Gemara says, Loi, no. My idis, what does the Braisa mean over here when it says idis, that even though, yes, it was written in the document of the loan, that you're not going to be able to collect from the idis, you're only going to collect from the ziburis. That's talking about, for example, that shifoi idis. In other words, after the loan, then the word shifoi means like it jumped. That idis field jumped away, meaning that the lender can't collect from that anymore. Why? Either that some strong-armed people took away that field, or got windblown, or got flooded, where now the condition is suddenly nullified. Because now, that iddis field that he had guaranteed him is not around anymore. So now, actually, that creditor goes back to his original biblical law, which is ziburis. Now, generally, when the Baal Chayiv is coming to collect, because of Leitin Odelis, the Rabbanan said, okay, fine, you collect from Beinus. But by Yisayimim, you go back to the biblical law, which is ziburis. So though, yes, this is a case that he had guaranteed him iddis, the reason why you're not going to collect from iddis, although, says Rabbi, you usually do collect from iddis, because that it's a Shibud Dairaisa, which the Yisrael are obligated in, but we're talking about that the case of the Idis was that it got ruined. Now that it got ruined, so what do? That which you had guaranteed, as the Gemara is going to illustrate, Kedirava, that Rava says that where the Idis, which is what the person who's collecting was supposed to collect from, when that gets ruined, then actually his whole law falls on the wayside. He doesn't get now the lowest grade, meaning he doesn't get what's under the highest quality. He lost that category of Idis, and he goes back to his previous category. Dama Rava, like Rava says, Hizik Ziburis. If let's say someone damaged someone else, his lowest quality field. Still the halacha is Goyva, he collects the value of the damages, Mina Idis, from the highest quality fields of the Mazik, where, and that's even, according to Rebbe Kiva, it's biblical that it collects from the best of the best, meaning of the Mazik himself, whereas again, according to Rebbe Shmuel, as we had explained on in the beginning of the parak, that would only be a rabbinic law, where he collects from the best of the best, but that's a halacha that the Nizik collects from the highest quality fields. Now, says Rava, but shifoi idis, if let's say after the damages, after the incident happened, then the highest quality field of the Mazik gets ruined. Now, but still, he still has high quality, intermediate quality, and low quality. It's just that the one that got ruined after the hezek had happened was his highest quality field. Says Rav, you know what happens now? The nizik doesn't collect anymore from the next highest quality idis. He's actually going to collect now, gave him in abeininus. He only collects from the intermediate fields right now. Why? Because he lost his categorical halacha of collecting from the idis. Why? Because the mazik is going to tell the nizik, look, what's called nistachva sadehu, maslach agar, meaning your field got ruined. It was your field. That was the one that was owed to you. Your mazel, your divine hashbai from heaven caused that your field got ruined. Now, the truth is, as Rashi explains, now I should only have to pay you for my own ziburis, especially according to Rabbi Shmuel, where that's the biblical law, when the iddus the nizik is like ziburis the mazik. But because of tikkun olam, so fine, we won't downgrade you from iddus all the way down to ziburis. We'll take you down to beinus. But says Rava, you lost your halacha of iddus when the highest quality field, which was what you were going to collect from, gets ruined. You now lost that. You don't get any more iddus anymore because it was your field that got ruined. I'll pay you back, but I'll pay you back beinus and not iddus. Now, the Gemara concludes, which is not from the statement of Rava, but rather going back on this price of Rabbi Elazar Nivsa, V'kabi Yasmi, and regarding Yisaimim, Ukmu Rabbana Adaraisa, the rabbis went and instituted in the biblical law, which is Ziburis, and that's why it's not a difficulty according to Rava, who he argues in Mazutra, because yes, although that what happens is in this loan, he had guaranteed him that you're going to collect from my Iddis. But what happens is that highest iddus field that he has, which was what he was going to collect from, got ruined. Now they got ruined. So now you go down to what your real biblical halacha is, which is from the ziburis, because really every Baal Chayv collects from ziburis. Only rabbinically it takes you up to beininus. But since we're talking about Yisaimim, it's going to go down to ziburis. And therefore, again, the Gemara did not refute Rava, who argues on Mazutra, and he holds that no, that this halacha that a Yisaimim we only collect from ziburis is only talking about a regular Baal Chayv. Where actually, biblically, that is the halacha of a ziburis. But if he had obligated himself, the borrower, in the document, which is a biblical law, that he's going to pay from iddus, then from the Yisayim, you could also collect from iddus. Then the Mishnah said that, ein nifra'a minichsi Yisayim elam leziburis, like we were quoting this before, that a person that's collecting from the estate, from the orphans, could only collect from ziburis. So the Gemara qualifies and explains this halacha. Bayer of Achdavai Bar'ami says, Yisayim sha'amru. This halacha that we said in the Mishnah regarding orphans, when someone's collecting from an obligation that their father had to them, now he's collecting from the estate, which is now owned by the orphans, ketanim oyefilah gedolim. When did we say that now they have this great strength that only people could collect from their lowest grade fields? Was only talking about minor orphans or even adult orphans, as the Gemara explains what the question is. Do we say takantahi da avadra bana gabi yasmi, that it was an institution, it was some type of a tikkun that the rabbis did to help the orphans? In other words, because they were concerned for the orphans, where the reason why they made it on biblical law that the collection could only be on ziburis is to make that the creditor, he should have to go through all the effort to sell these low-grade fields and then get recoup his money that he was owed by this borrower. The reason being is because by orphans, there's no one there to help them. They're just orphans. They don't have a father anymore. So therefore, like a tanim avadrabanan, so that would be a halacha that would be made for minor orphans. But for adult orphans, the fact that you lost your father doesn't make you helpless. You're just like any adult. If you're a 40-year-old orphan, that's not a reason why the rabbis should go ahead and now put obligations on the lender, which was never on him. So therefore, that would be a halacha that you're collecting from the orphans. You're only collecting from ziburis. That would be only for minors, not for adults. Or maybe the Gemara says, actually, it's not a tikkun. It wasn't a takanta that we had instituted to make it a ziburis as concerns for the helpless orphans. No. It's actually the law that it should go back to its biblical status, which again, as we said, really every Baal Chayv should only collect from ziburis. Now, because what's the reason why we said that a Baal Chayv collects from beinus? That's a rabbinic tikkun because of nilas delas, because it's going to close the doors. No one's going to want to lend them money anymore. Every borrower is going to pay me back with his lowest grade. It's not worth it for me. Now, so therefore, even if the rabbanu would not make a takana that you could collect from yisayim from beinus, there wouldn't be this nilas delas. Mishum deloy masiga daite demalva, because it's not going to entertain the thought process of the lender to not lend money to someone to be concerned that maybe to mislaiva, that maybe the borrower is going to die, benafli nichsi kamayasmi, and then the estate that I'm going to try to collect from is going to be by the orphans, and I'm only going to be able to collect from these ziburis, to havale noyel delis, that it should be considered closing the door. Because people don't think that, oh, if he dies, what's going to happen? No one thinks about that. Now, hilkach, therefore, if that would be the reason, then even by adult orphans, that should be the reason, because again, the whole reason why you made a takana was because of nilas delas. But truthfully, when it comes to orphans, there the halacha should be that we make it according to biblical law. And the reason is because we don't need the takana over there. Because people are not going to not lend money because thinking, oh, what's going to happen if this guy dies and then his children? Because death is not necessarily something that he's entertaining. And therefore, that should even be something that applies to the adult orphans. So what's the halacha? This that you could only collect from Zibur is that only by minor orphans, because it's something that we need to, that they're helpless, and therefore we have to make who goes through the effort of recouping the money, it's the lender, or no. It's just because that there's no reason to have it rabbinically of Ni'ilas Delis, because there's no Ni'ilas Delis by the lender's sons, no matter how old they are, not paying up more than Ziburis. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a Raya, the Tanya Abaye Kashisha. Baya, the elder, taught the following Braisa. Yisayim Shamru, he says, the orphans that we spoke about, that have these dispensations of orphans, are G'dayim, are talking about adults? We don't have to say that it applies to minor orphans. So similarly, you see that applies to even adult orphans. So the Gemara says, no. But Dilma, maybe this Braisa, Hanemili, what was it talking about? Le'inyin Shavua. There's another area of halacha where there are leniencies regarding the orphans. In other words, the sages said that whoever is coming to collect from the estate of orphans, not only the regards to the halacha ziburis that we were talking about, there's another halacha, lo yipar ele b'shavua. You can only collect if you first swear that that's owed to you. And even if you're producing a document, we usually don't have to swear, look at my document, you have to swear when you're collecting from orphans. Now what's the reason? Because had their father been alive, then maybe he would have claimed, swear to me that I didn't pay you. And he would have to swear to him because although he has a document, maybe for whatever the reason is, he really paid him. Whereas the Gemara explains in Masechet Shavuos of him alf and alf. Now, therefore, we also claim for the orphans something that they don't know how to make a claim. And for that reason, that would apply even by adult orphans. What's the reason? Why would that be a reason that applies to adult orphans too? And maybe that's the halacha that Abaye Kashisha was talking about. Because the gadol b'mili davuah k'katan dami. Essentially, even an adult orphan, but in regards to his father's affairs, is like a minor because he doesn't know if the father paid or not. So we have to make the claim for them saying, maybe the father would have been there, he would have said that he paid you, now you have to swear. So maybe in regards to that, did we say it's even adult orphans? Avle inyan zibur is loy, but says the Gemara, no, maybe regarding the collection from the orphans, that it's only from ziburis, maybe they would tell you that, no, the reason was because, as we said, that it was the rabbis were concerned for the orphans, because they're helpless. That's why they made it on biblical law, but that's something that would only apply to orphans that are minors, not to adults, and therefore that doesn't resolve the question. Because maybe that qualification of that braisa was only told by regarding the halach of shvua, where that definitely would apply logically to the adults, and not by ziburis, which maybe that could only apply to the orphans. But the Gemara concludes, the halachas of the halacha is, as we continue on Tamid Beis, Yisayim and Sha'amru, the orphans that we spoke about, are gedolim, are even by adult orphans, ve'en etzach le'meketam, and we don't have to say that it applies to minor orphans, bein le'shvua, whether regarding an oath, as we mentioned before, and bein le'ziburis, even regarding the halacha of ziburis, again, because there's no concern for tikkun olam ni'ilas delas, and therefore we can make it under biblical law, even for the adult orphans, that the creditor only collects from the ziburis of the yisayim. Then the Mishnah continued again. We had many different tikkun olam type of halachas. So he said, ein nefrom nechasim mishabadim. One is not allowed to collect from encumbered properties from a debtor of his, but mokim shish menechayrin, if there are available properties by the debtor himself. Meaning, although that the properties he has at the time of the loan are meshubit, and he later sold those properties to someone else, but if there are still available ones by the debtor, the purchasers could come and argue and say, what do you mean? We left you place to come and buy from. The whole point of nechasim mishabadim that you could collect, that people know about it and say, oh, it was your liability, you, the purchaser, you knew that it was indebted, they could say, no, it wasn't, because we left you available properties, you can't come and collect from our fields right now. Now, Bayer of Achtav Ibrahami, he asks that b'matana heyach, what would be the halacha regarding if these encumbered properties, who this guy had at the time, the borrower had at the time of the loan, and then it went to someone else. The question is, let's say it went to someone else, not through a sale. Rather, he gifted it to someone else after he had borrowed the money from the lender. Now, he now has leftover fields by himself, only low-grade type of fields. What's the halacha? Do we say that the lender could only collect from the low-grade fields that are left, that are called b'nei chayrin, that are available by the borrower? Or do we say that, no, in this case, he could collect from, as the Baal Chayv is supposed to be able to collect from the bainis fields that are meshubid, that meaning that were given away as a gift to someone else. So the Gemara explains the question. Takantahu da'av rabbanon mishum p'seid d'ilakuchas. What was the reason of this takana that we mentioned, that tikkun olam is, although all the properties are indebted, but you can't go ahead and collect from the lekuches when there's still available properties by the debtor because of the tikkun olam of the concern of the loss of purchases, because people are buying, they're spending good money, and then they're going to lose what they spent on. We say that no, you can't collect from them if they left what's available for the lender to collect from the borrower. That's something that applies to purchases. But maybe by a gift, where there's no loss, you only had gain. Now, of course, the lender has rights that he had in the borrower. I'm supposed to collect from Bainis. Now, you didn't leave me what I needed. You left him Ziburis. I'm going to go ahead and take from you the Bainis that's owed to me. And here, there's no rabbinic tikkun olam of loss of a purchaser because you're not a purchaser. It was just given to you as a gift. Now it's taken away from you. Well, the Gemara says, no, maybe the halacha tikkun olam would apply even if it was gifted to someone. Because ilav de'is lehano minei, if not for the fact that this borrower had some type of a pleasure, some benefit from this guy that he gave a gift to, lo yov lematana, he wouldn't be giving him a gift. V'hilkoch keep shei de lekuches, I mean, therefore, essentially, it is like a loss of a purchaser, because although it wasn't, quote, a sale, there wasn't a bartering, an exchange of money for this field, but there obviously was something that this guy was giving him, maybe some type of emotional currency. He's giving him something, that's why he's giving him a gift, and therefore maybe it is considered like a loss that would apply even if it was given as a gift, not just as a sale. So Amalei Mar Kashisha Bereidu Rav Chisda LeRavashi, he said to Ravashi that Toshima, come in here from the following Braisa to answer this question. The Braisa says, Shchiv Mara Sha'amar, if a person on his deathbed, who he tells the people around him, Tnu Masayim Zuz LePlani, give that guy 200 Zuz. The Gimel Meis LePlani, give that guy 300 Zuz. The Dal Meis LePlani, give that guy 400 Zuz. Says the Braisa, Ein Oimrim Kol HaKoidim Bishtar. We don't say that whoever is earlier on this document of the tzava, of the command of the shchimera, where he's commanding and they're writing it down that who they should give what to, as he's saying on his deathbed, we don't say whoever's earlier on the document is zacha, that he's the first to merit. In other words, that we don't say that, oh, the later people who are written in the document will not collect only what the first guy left over. In other words, if there's not enough money, this guy was on, he's dreaming, he's dying, and he's saying, give a million to this guy. You don't have that much money. So we don't say that if there wasn't enough, that it turns out that the first guy is not going to lose because only the later ones are going to lose. We don't say that. Now, the reason is because, as we'll see, the contrast of the second case that Bryce is going to bring, he didn't say, give this guy 200 and then give the next guy 300 and then give the next guy 400. So therefore, although he's saying 200 first and then 300 fourth, it's just because you can't say two words at the same time. But he's not saying it in that order specifically to say that he gets first and then if there's left over him and then if there's left over him. So the fikach, therefore, says the Braisa, the ramifications of this halacha would be, if yotza lav shtar choyv, if let's say there's a document of debt that's coming to collect from the person who died. After all these people had collected their gifts they got from him, he got his 200, he got his 300, he got his 400, but turns out he gave away money that wasn't his because here comes the guy, the collector, the collection agency is saying, what do you mean, this guy owed us money? So says the Braisa, gave him a kulan. In that case, the creditor is going to collect from all these guys. In other words, they're equally going to lose proportionately according to the ratio of what they got. Whereas Rashi explains that the one who's going to lose the most, it's not really losing the most because he got the most, is the one who got 400. Because the halacha is that after the guy who comes for collections collects from one of them the money that's owed to him, then they really have to put it back into the pool and then split it up again proportionately of how much it was. So in other words, as Rashi says, if let's say the collector is coming to collect a mana, what they do is that they split it up into 9 different portions. And it becomes a 4-3-2 ratio, because one got 400, one got 300, one got 200. So you split up into 9 portions. The one who got 200 gives 2 chalakim, the one who got 300 gives 3 chalakim, and the one who got 400 gives 4 chalakim. Again, that's just so that proportionately each one is obligated in this equally into the creditor, into the debt. That's if it was, didn't say the word acharav. Avalim Amar, but the Tana says that if, let's say, the Shchimra said, Tenu Masayim Zuz LePlani, first give 200 zuz to that guy, v'acharav l'plaini, and then after you gave this guy 200, then give that person 300, v'acharav l'plaini, and then give that other person 400, then we say, kol hakoyd mishtar zacha, whoever's earlier in the document, he's the first one to get. Now, fikach, therefore, the ramifications, in, as we said previously, would be if yatzalav shtar chayev. Now, if let's say there's a document collecting from that dead person's estate, gaiva min ha'acharin, you would first collect from the last person on that document. Now, Rashi points out that even if let's say the shtar chayev, the document was being collecting from the dead person's estate, even before these three people collect their gifts, still it would be the same halacha. The creditor would collect his debt from the last person. Because in other words, the first person on the Shechiv Meraz Tzava would be the first one to collect until he gets whatever he needs. And then the second guy would take. And then the third guy would take. Here also it's the same thing. Even when they collect first, but now with the creditor who his debt was first, he first goes to the last guy written on the document. Ein loy, if let's say the last guy's gift doesn't have enough to pay up the amount of the debt, then gave him mishalafanda. Then the creditor goes to the previous one. Ein loy, if there's not enough even in the next one, then gave him mishalafanda. Then he goes back to the first one. So he first goes to the 401. If there's not enough, let's say his debt is more than that, he goes to the 301. And if not enough of that, then he goes to the 201. Now that's what the Braisa says. So on that says Markashish Barida of Chizli says va'avagav dekama beninis. The Braisa doesn't say which fields each one got. So the inference would be that even if, let's say, the first one who collected the 200, he had collected fields of Beninis, but Ubastra, by the time the last guy got his 400, he only got fields of Ziburis. Still, it sounds like from the Braisa, Miziburis Gavi, that the creditor is only going to be collecting from the lowest grades fields from the last guy. As we explained, because the first guy gets his fields first, and he tells him, says, look, when there was a shibud that you had on these fields, that first I took and I left over for the later guys to come. So when I took my shibud, the other ones were b'nei chayrin, and therefore your obligations are on the later fields. So therefore, take according to your halacha from the later fields, which are what's available, which are the zibur's fields. Mi beinis legav, he doesn't collect from the first guy who has his beinis fields. So says Mar Kashisha, Shema Menoh, you could infer from this price to be matanin, nami over drabon the takanta, that the takana drabonon, which was when someone gets something, even after there's a shibud of a loan, but if there's available properties, that you're not going to collect from the chasim shibadim, even though that's really what you as a creditor should be collecting, which are bainis, but if you left over even ziburis by the balchayiv, then that's what you have to collect from. And that's why you're not going back to the first guy who has bainness, because you go to the last guy, because that was the last available ones that I had left over for you, even though they're ziburis. And that's a case, as the Braisa told me, of matana. So you see, it applies not just to lekuchas, but even by matana. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. And the Gemara brings three different interpretations of that Braisa that would disprove the raya. First, the Gemara says, hachamai skin, what we're talking about is bebal chayv. Actually, this Shrimra, who said, tenu, Lohem, kach v'kach, give to these people 200, 300, 400. Those people weren't recipients of gifts. They were his lenders. We're talking about a case of creditors. By creditors, that's the same thing as lekuchas, where there's going to be a loss. That's where we say that he said, I left over for the next creditor. But regarding a gift, then actually we wouldn't say that. Now the Gemara wonders about tenu kama, but he said give. So the Gemara says, yeah, tenu b'chayvi. He said, give it for my debt. But it wasn't for a gift, and therefore there's no riot. Now the Gemara wonders, if that's the case, we're talking about creditors, lenders, well then belech zishtara, then let's see the documents of the loan, demand kadim, whichever loan was first. Why did the Braisa say that we analyze to see who's earlier or later on the command of the Shchimera, and whoever's first written down the document gets first? What do you mean? It has nothing to do with that. It has to whoever's loan was first, he has the earlier shibud. Or another difficulty with this is that regarding the Reisha, even when he doesn't say Va'achrav and then afterwards give him and afterwards give him, why are we saying that the creditor would collect from all of them? You don't. You go to the last creditor, if we're talking about creditors. So the Gemara says, you're right, usually we would do that. But the Lekashtara, we don't have the documents of the loan because, as Rashi says, we're talking about a case of Milvapeh, it was an oral loan. We don't know whose loan was first. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that? But Vokola Koidim Bishtar Kamra, the Braisa said explicitly, whoever is earlier in the document, he's the one that gets first, and the one who loses first is the one later. So how can you say it was an oral loan when it says that you look at the document? So the Gemara says, no, Bishtar Pekadita. Yeah, what document did we say you look at? It's the document of the commands of the Shchimera. that when he was writing on his deathbed, which again we're talking about, there wasn't that he was gifting things to people. He has debts that he owes. I remember once I borrowed from Reuben 200 zuz, write out, you have to give him 200. Oh, and one time I owed Levi from a few years ago, I owed him 300 zuz, write that. So that's what we're talking about. That's where the halacha is going to be, that a different creditor, when he's coming to collect, so he collects, if his credit, if his debt was earlier than all those creditors, then he collects from them first, because his was an earlier one. Just this guy forgot that 10 years ago he had borrowed from that guy. But regarding Matana, not necessarily would we say the same halacha of the Takana Jabonan, that they can tell them that you don't collect from me, I left you, Nechasim Nechar. Or the Ibai Sema, the Gemara says, another approach you could take is that, no, actually, if the first guy had Beinonis and the last guy was Ziburis, then actually the Baal Chayv would collect from the first guy. Because he would take according to his din, which is that the Baal Chayv collects from Beinonis. But Afilu Matana Nami. And in other words, as Rashi explains, that still I could tell you that we did not say by Matana that you don't collect from the Chasam Meshabadim when there's Beinichar. In other words, you would collect by a gift from the first guy. But still V'loi Kasha, it's not a difficulty, although it sounds like from the Brisa that you don't collect from the first guy, even though it's talking about a case of a gift, because my Gavim in the Acher, and explains the Gemara, what does the Brisa mean when it says that the creditor only collects from the last guy? It means, a nifsid ela achren. It means to say because the only one that's going to lose is the last guy. In other words, because even though the creditor is going to be collecting from the first guy, because we don't say the takana drabanan by matana as we do by lekuchas, but after he collects from the first guy, guess what the first guy is going to do? He's going to go to the last guy and collect from him, because he's going to tell him, you can't take before me, because he said first me, then him, then him. Now, although the creditor is going to collect from me first, because I'm the one that has the bainness, and that's where he's going to collect from, because we don't say that the takana rabbanan by matana, but the wording of the braisa makes sense, because gevim min acher means to say, after he collects from the first one, the collection ultimately is going to be taken away from the last guy. Or the ibay sema, a third approach, that to say that it's not a raya, that you do say that the takana rabbanan even by matana, like by lekuchas, is that could be that as the wording of the Braisa was exact, that the Baal Chayv only collects from the last guy. And still, it won't resolve the question that you're trying to prove of Ein Efron even by Matana. Because the case that we're discussing over here says the Gemara is Deshavikulu, that all the lands that they took were equal, Lahadadi, all one to the other. That either they were all Beinis, or they were all Ziburis, or all Idis, and therefore that's why we're saying, okay, so you go to the last one. But, says the Gemara, could be that if the first guy's fields were Beinus and the last guy's fields were only Ziburis, then maybe then the halacha would be that he would go to the first one and not to the last one, because again, these are three different interpretations in the Braisa, not to prove that we say it even by Matana. Could be we don't say it by Matana, because as we said, we only made it for Besedu de Lekuches, and that doesn't apply to someone that got it as a gift. Now the Gemara continues with the next halacha in the Mishnah of Tikkun Olam, Eimetzin Lachilas Peris. We don't collect from the chasim mishubadim, from the incumbent properties, for the consumption of payers, which, again, as we explained, is if someone steals a field and then he sells it to someone else, and he takes full responsibility for the field. And then, turns out, the guy who was stolen from says, what are you doing on my field? This is my field. And he takes it back with all the improvements this guy made, with all the fruits that are growing in it, says, okay, great, you did this for me. I'll pay you for your expenses, but you're not getting the value of the fruits. It's my field. So regarding that, when this duped lekeach comes to his seller and he wants to get paid back for this stolen property that he was sold inappropriately, the actual field itself he collects from Nochasim Meshabadim, but the payers are not collected from Nochasim Meshabadim. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? So Amar Ula Amar Shlakish. He says, Lefi She'en Kesuvin. Because they're not written in a document. In other words, this produce that suddenly, wow, look at this beautiful field that was planted and irrigated and worked and plowed and everything grew because of this lekeach, that when they wrote the document of the sale, which he didn't know was a stolen field, those payers weren't there at the time of the document. Now, in the document, he only wrote that I'm selling this field to that person with liability, with achrayis, with responsibility. So therefore, the value of the land itself, that's like, it turns out it was really a loan because he didn't really sell him anything. He was just giving him money and the field was actually a stolen field. So you would call that a milva b'shtar, it was like a loan in the document. Well, that, when there's responsibility, you could collect from the chasim mishabadim. But the value of the fruits that the lekech made later on, for the few years that he had it before the nigzel came and claimed this field, that's like a milva al peh. That's like an oral loan, and that you cannot collect from mishabadim. In other words, as Rashi explains, although that the meicher, this ganav, wrote in the document, ano ekim v'ishpi zvina ilain, I take full responsibility for the sale, inun v'amalein v'shabcheinu peridotayin, I'm going to take responsibility, I'll pay you back, don't worry, this is a foolproof sale for all the increases and all the betterments you make for the field and all the fruits. So he is taking responsibility from the fruits, so why can't you collect from the chasam mishabadim? So Rashi explains that would only help to incur a responsibility that he could collect from the nechasim b'nei charim, from the available properties of the meicher himself. Yes, he'll be responsible for the payers, but from mishabadim not. Now the reason is because, why is it that in general, when there's a debt that's written in the document that you collect from the nechasim mishabadim, is because when something's written in the document with witnesses, so the word gets out. Now, but however, for this writing that pertains to the payers, the word doesn't get out, because we understand regarding the land, the word gets out, because everyone says, oh, Reuven sold this field to Shimon and he took responsibility. So everyone knows, ooh, okay, we got to be careful when we then go ahead and buy stuff from Reuven, because the Shimon guy might end up having to collect from the faultiness of that field from Reuven, and we're gonna be responsible because his debt was before our debt. But regarding the produce of that field, which wasn't there at the time of the sale, it's only what's going to be coming later, that the word doesn't get out, and that's what Ula is saying in the name of Rish Lakish, since it's not written in the document, there's no koil, that's why for that you cannot collect from the Chasam Mishabadim. And that's what the Tikkun Olam of Eimetzin Lachilas Peris is. Now, on that Amalei Rabba Abba Ula. Rabba Abba asked to Ula from this halacha that he said in the name of Rish Lakish, he says, but Ba'amazin Ha'isha Ba'abonis, but another halacha mentioned in our Mishnah, regarding the sustenance of a wife and a daughter after the man of the house dies, they get fed from the estate, the command of chsivi damu, that it's as if it is written in the document, and the reason for that is because it's what's called a tnai bezin. It's a condition in the courts that from the moment the woman gets married to her husband, the word gets out, he is responsible for when he dies to feed her and her daughter. Because actually, as we learned in the Mishnah, as brought that even if the husband does not write to her in the ksuba, that your daughter that you will have from me, and that you will sit in my household, which is supposed to be written in the ksuba, even if he doesn't write it, he's actually chayiv, because it's what's known as a tnai bezin. This is from the conditions of the courts. So this halacha is like it's written in the document, and yet still v'gatani emetzi, and still we learned in our Mishnah that you cannot collect for the mazna each of our bonus from the chasam mishabadim. But according to your interpretation from Rish Lakish regarding achilas peris, you said the whole reason is because it's not written. Yet still this halacha that it is like written, and still you cannot collect from the chasam mishabadim. So Ula responded to Rabbi, he says, no. Hasam, regarding the mazna each of our bonus, that's different. Because meikara hachi iskin, that was the initial takonis bezin, was that kesuba nein etzel b'nei charim. They're only considered like they're written in the ksuba for the collection of the available prop, the available nechasim that are by the husband when he dies. But the ein kesuba nein etzel mishabadim, they're not considered written for the collection of indebted properties. The reason is why they're not considered written regarding nechasim mishabadim is because no one's going to ever want to buy a field from his friend, which Tikkun Olam says we have to allow commerce. Now the reason is because if the sustenance of his wife and his kids could always come and collect for as long as she's an almana from all his indebted properties, well, no one's going to want to buy. Well, the moment you die, for even going back 10 years, whoever bought is going to be collected from the woman, and no one's going to want to buy. And that's why from the integral institution was, yes, although it's considered ksuvin, but it's only considered ksuvin regarding the b'nei charim, not regarding mishabadim. But anything that is considered regular ksuvin, as would be the case regarding anything like that, then you would collect from the chasam mishabadim, and that's why by chilas peres, which is not kesuvin, there it's not going to be collecting from the chasam mishabadim. Now the Gemara says v'chein, and so too, like we said from Rish Lakish, that the reason why you cannot collect for peres from the chasam mishabadim, that the reason is because it's not like it's written in the document. So too, Omer Reb Asi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says l'fishen kesuvin, the reason why you can't collect is because it's not like it's written. Because again, the payers weren't there at the time that the document was written. Now, that Omeli Reb Zeila Reb Asi asks, same question, again, this was Reb Asi saying the name of Reb Yechanan, and it was the same interpretation, now he gets the same question. But we find Mosn Ishababonis, their sustenance, the command of Ksibidom. It's like they're written, and still Vikhtonim, it's in still our Mishnah says you can't collect, but you said something that's written should be able to collect. Amaleis, it says to him, no, me kara hachi iskin, this was its original takana, kesuvenein itzel b'nei chara, and only considered written regarding available produce, but meaning what's available by the husband, by his estate. Then kesuvenein itzel mishabadim, and they're not considered written regarding the chas mishabadim. And again, that's the same interpretation of ula in the name of Rish Lakish, which is the same idea that, again, you can't collect for achilles peris from the chas mishabadim, because although a star was written with responsibility, but if it's only what was there at that time where the word gets out, that's where we say that the lekuchis are responsible because you knew about it, but Paris is not known about, and therefore Tikkun Olam says, for those obligations, you cannot collect from the Chasim Mishabodim, and although, by Mosn Ish Rabbanis, it's like it's written, it was only written and for purposefully like that, only from the Chasim B'nei Charin, but not from the Chasim Mishabodim.